Okay, the sermon is called A Language That Is Easy to Understand for My Generation. We're going to go into one moment, which some people understand, but majority does not understand. What's happening in the time when someone is preaching to his people? People hear the Russian language, but they do not understand what he speaks about. You understand what I'm talking about? People that are absolutely don't understand what he tries to convey. Have you ever had these things in your life? When you sat all your day, listened few sermons in Russian language and did not understand anything. So today we're going to talk about what is this, what kind of a phenomenon this is. When you sit there and you look at him point blank, he speaks your language, but you cannot understand anything. Simple words, simple moments, simple phrases, simple words, but there's nothing that would change you. There's nothing present that after you exit this door would remain with you. There is nothing that will move you to the life. There is nothing that will ignite you. There is nothing that will make you fast and pray and try to get to God closer. There is something, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that something. It's the language that's understandable to my generation. My loved ones, we see ministries, people, we see multitudes of preachers that drive around. They drive on your ears. They preach you from 19th century, when you are in 21st. And you need someone who will speak your language. And I'm not talking about the actual language of the nation's language. I'm talking about what's inside of you. Because when you listen to me with your physical ears, you will not be able to stay here for 10 minutes. You will feel bad and you'll run off. Only part of a person must hear me, which is called the Spirit. And if people, they're not born from God, you will always stumble on the person. You will 100%, you will find in any preacher, you will find faults and mistakes. The nation of Israel, in which Moses, in which God did not find any faults, he says he's the most blessed man and he is the most humble and he was chosen. Israel found faults in him, and they always were threatening him, and they were always saying, "Who are you married? Who did you marry?" Remember, you know, so there was a whole scheme was over there. So we understand that there are such moments in our lives. We must understand what is happening in that time when I speak. What's happening in the time when other anointed people speak? What is happening when people who have only empty words, and you know, you lose them. You don't remember anything. You remember that passage from the scripture. Explain it to me. What's happening in that time when the message is coming? How do you listen to it? If you listen to me with your ears, you know, it's bad for you. Today we're going to read a few passages from the scripture, and we're going to stop on one. We're going to start with Jesus Christ, because everything begins with him and ends with him. What was happening in that time when Jesus was teaching and spoke, and what happened then? It's impossible to say that you're doing something wrong and the success comes in your life. So there is something in the life that changes the lives of people. Then you have, trust me, I'm telling you words, but right now you'll listen to me. If you're born from above, you're don't only hear me with your ears, but your spirit listens to me. And this is what we call that my sheep, so says Jesus, they know my voice. Explain to me, which voice was Jesus talking about? Jesus is not here anymore. Amen. Where is Jesus? When was the last time he spoke? My sheep, they know my voice. He says, what is this? What is this? What is this voice which talks to people? What is this anointing? What is this power? What kind of a language this is that Holy Spirit talks into, speaks? In which time do we live? In the time where you hear the very stupid quotes from of our ministers. What is it not enough for you? What are you short on something? We make these little doll theaters for you. We speak these things. We sing these songs for you. No, you don't speak the right language. Why do they leave? By multitudes of people leave the churches, and our nation has no future, no spiritual future. We need to learn to talk their language, speak in their language. At the end, I'll give you five parts. What is the language? I will give you what is the language that will touch this nation and what God wants to do right now. We talk about the tongue or the language which is understandable to our generation. We talk about the language of Jesus Christ. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And the other voice they flee from. They don't know him. So you are born from God, even from your very birth. You are able to hear. You have a moment, you have this element inside of your spirit. You don't need to be explained. Do you understand, sister? He is so anointed, my loved ones. Your spirit always puts everyone in the right category. Your spirit, when he only hears the correct words, you'll say, oh, I know where the anointing is. I know where his voice is. I know through who he speaks. My loved ones, I'm telling you, what am I coming up with new words? Tell me, did I invent a new alphabet? My language is it's so simple. It's just a street language. It's simple. So a child will understand me. You know, I'm so uneducated in my speech that everyone understands me. Amen. I have no doctrines or any levels or some depths of like colleges that somebody will not understand what I'm talking about. And again, I'm not talking about this kind of language. I'm talking about the language inside of your language. It is the spiritual code that only those who are born again will recognize. Otherwise, any imposter will stand behind the pulpit and give you some sermons. And if you're not born from above, not born again, you will never distinguish where God is and where he's not. But if you are a person who's born from the Spirit, they will not be able to deceive you, because those people know exactly where God is and where there's just idle words. There is no problem. Your spirit will determine exactly. You know, of course, if they will teach you very quickly and will move you in a different way, then you will just start agreeing. But I said, no, allow me to disagree. I will walk in the way the Holy Spirit tells me inside of me. Amen. Allow me to disagree with the council of brothers. And there is something inside of you and me that tells you where is the truth. It tells you where is the truth, and you don't need to try to distinguish, oh, okay, let's go into the Word of God, if this brother is right or not right. Your spirit will tell you where is truth and where is no truth. You won't be, they don't need to prove it to you. Oh, I will check, well, verify with the Word. And those who are deaf with their ears, you can quote hundreds and hundreds passages from the Scripture. They don't hear you. They have no ears to hear you. How many times people came and said, prove it, and I did prove it. Prove it that all people must cast out demons. It's written, the believers will be accompanied by such signs. If you don't have, see, all the believers will be accompanied by these signs. All the believers, and there will be these signs. You know, if he's sick, he'll be healed. If he has a demon inside of him, the demon will leave. So these are the believers. So demons are in believers, people who were not born again. Demons may have presence there. So we need to understand what is being born again. Born again, it's It's the one who was born from the Spirit, and who is born from the Spirit is Spirit. When God starts talking to you, He will not talk to me through my tongue, through my regular mouth, which is written on the CD. On this CD, there's this code which even God's children can decode. Some people call me, "How can you listen to this? This is terrible. This is terrible," they say. Because you hear me with your own physical ears, amen? And you have problem with your spirit. Your ears do not allow your spirit to hear. Let's read first passage. Matthew chapter 7. It's a language that understandable to my generation. When Jesus started to explain this to me, I love this sermon. Matthew 7:29. Look what people were saying. Very interesting. Jesus came. He looked strange. He was born in a manger amid the animals, with the animals. He came. Looked strange. He was 30 years old. And there was like these fishermen, he gathered fishermen around him who could not even speak correctly. And the Pharisees, they did not understand. Who? You? You're son of God, yes. Oh, let's kill him, kill him someone. My loved ones, trust me. Jesus, if He came right now in our time, in our days, well, you and I, we wouldn't be able to find Him because He would not be in churches. He would be outside of the churches because for so God loved the world, not the church. Church is the place, it's like the storage place. It's where we teach people. We make them into leaders and they do the same thing. It's not okay. It's not just, you know, you sit there and wait for the what is the pastor going to tell me? What are you going to give me, pastor? What are you going to give me, pastor? Are you going to save someone? No, pastor needs to save. I'm just giving money. No, you must save people. You must, with all the methods that are available to you, you must save people. We must understand that the mission of the church, it's saving of souls. Mission of the church is to pull people from hell and be where nobody else wants to go. And my loved ones, there's this thought that came into me when I read this passage. Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This determination, the people, this was determined by people. People who heard Him gave Him a strange label. You know, he read from the same scripture. Those spoke in parables. He speaks in parable, but something was different about Jesus. For He taught them as the one having authority, not as the one who wants to have authority. We see multitudes of people who want to have that authority. He wants it, but you don't listen to Him. He wants very much. No, as one who has authority. He did not buy it. Nobody wrote Him a check to have that authority. He was born in authority. And my loved ones, when we are born again, we are born in authority. You just need to realize, you need to figure out the realm where that authority works. Your realm is finances. This is where your authority is. It's for your, and if you have your authority is to be a pastor, then don't get into the financial realm. We need to find out that realm of authority, what God has entrusted you. Why did He give you this authority? For He was teaching them. He taught them as the one having authority and not as the scribes. It's the ones who wanted that authority. So they only wanted it, but they had no authority. No. Jesus was speaking in some encoded language. his disciples ask him, Lord, why do you talk to us with parables? He said, Lord, they don't understand what's going on. You tell them the parable, and there is significance, there is meaning to this. Tell them the meaning, because they don't understand the parable, you know. He said, why? They said, why do you teach them with parables? And Jesus tells them, because they have ears, but they don't hear anything. They don't hear anything. What's going on? What is he saying? They don't understand. Their ears are turned off. Their spiritual ears. Everything that they have, it's just big, the carnal ears that they gather all the gossips with. So all the Christianity, you know, starts from the neck and down, you know. Their heads are always try to calculate something. Do you know that your head is not predestined to understand God? Your head is given to you so he can work in this world, and sometimes you have to turn it off so your spirit would have the authority and the anointing, so your spirit would start listening and decode the words that are spoken to you. Right now in my sermon, there is two sermons. One sermon is for this kind of people, and the other one is for those who know what Lord means when he speaks through me. Some people will not understand this, but other people may get offended. No, I just want to tell you that there's two languages which we need to use when we speak to our nation, and we a lot of times don't use that language because it doesn't, and one doesn't work. Otherwise, if it worked, something would be taking place. You know what's happening in this world out there. Some people say, how do you know? You know, all your life you sit in your apartment, you drive your Toyota Corolla, and you don't know the reality. And that's why you say, what is he talking about? Have you ever communicated with people throughout the world? I talked to, you know, there's Dima. You can ask him what's going on in this world. He's a virtual, or he's a pastor of a virtual church, almost. What am I talking about? My loved ones, when we will poke out our nose outside from our 4x4 apartment, four walls of apartment, and we will look what's going on in the world and different nations, you will see what and where we're going. You will understand which language I'm talking, and and you will understand why we receive these testimonials every week, because someone receives life even without seeing us. Some lives are changed completely without even seeing us, only hearing us. You hear me? Why? Because we speak the language that is understandable to them. We speak the language. They don't see us, but they understand everything. Their spirit understands everything. Just make a person to start fasting for 40 days. Try to make someone do it. How? You'll say, you need to fast. No, you need to fast, they might reply. How long? You know, without God, you won't last a day. What compels them to do it? What makes them? I don't even know what this says. I didn't preach about that, but it made the people to fast for 40 days. You understand me? Me and my sermons, I don't do that. Why do they write to us and they said, Holy Spirit told me to start fasting and do this. God has changed me. Who is this? He does that. Why? Because there is a different language. There is, because he doesn't see me. He brings those his children to that dream that he has for them. And this is the language I'm talking about. What is this language? I'll try to learn to be a pastor. No, and it's nonsense. I will finish school, graduate school, pastor school. It's nonsense. You don't understand. You cannot buy this. You cannot learn this. You cannot attain this by on your own. You have this when you're born again. You're born from above. This you receive when you get connected to His Spirit. You have this when He gives you a voice and you start speaking honestly what He has input in your heart. So, against all the prognosis, all the predictions, everything, you're succeeding. Why? I didn't preach that. I'm preaching to you. But there is something in the words, words in those words. I'm talking about the language. I'm talking about this language, but the Holy Spirit, He has given you your sermon, what you need to hear. And this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that you don't hear me with your ears. That's why those people who came, they're revolutionaries, the people who were reformed, people who wanted to change something in church, they were not accepted. Why? Because they were misunderstood. Because these people, their message was coded with spirit, and we will read it. Matthew 11:15. Another verse that all the disciples quoted in all the Gospels. And after each parable that Jesus was saying, there were, you know, he was saying these words. You all know these words, everyone. It says, Matthew 11:15, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What is this? What does it mean? Jesus, what are you, blind? Everyone has ears. My loved ones, which ears was Jesus talking about? What did he mean? Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is one of the most popular phrases of Jesus. He did not say it one. Just read the New Testament, and almost after each parable, Jesus was saying this. And all the disciples, they wrote in their Gospels, he always used this phrase. What does it mean? Then it means we don't govern who has ears. We don't know. Jesus says, the one who has ears, let him hear. Not this message that I'm saying, but the spirit that changes the lives. This is the ears that Jesus was talking about. We must understand your ministry. You know why people say, Why you know the ministry is being closed? Because he preaches with his mouth only. Why? But sometimes why the anointing just keeps growing? Because you're speaking from spirit to spirit, and I can say the same sermon over and over, and you will keep receiving it. How can one passage from the scripture will not run out? Because you're pulling from the spirit and given to another spirit. That's why the same passage from the scripture will never run out of power. A lot of times I met some ministers and I say, I cannot preach no longer. I already said everything that I had. I already spoke everything out. I preached about everything. I already read all the stories from the Bible, and I had a sermon. I don't know what to talk about anymore. Only those people say this who read the book. They do not communicate with God. For 3 years, I only preach from the King's Book of Kings, and sometimes I preach from the New Testament. When something will fail, you say, "It's Lord, is there another book in the Bible that I can preach from?" We're gonna read from the Kings. Again, I cannot do anything about it. And Alex keeps coming to me. Are you preaching from this same book or new or something new? Understand? When God starts doing something, He will from the same passage. Same passage from the scripture. He will give you new depth. And a lot of times I read it over again, and every time I receive something new, I said, "Lord, you know this is new." And if you'll be obedient, Lord says, I'll show you even more from the same passage. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you see these movies. It's not, you know, and God reveals you new and new, more and more. And your life begins when you read the Bible. It's as these soap operas that draw you to the TV. When you read the Bible, it draws you to the Bible. It's like, so your life begins with Jesus. You start having, it's like this movie with Jesus. And you, whenever you see the Bible, you want to read it, which is not very common in Christianity. You want to read the Bible. because it's interesting for you. You dive into it, and each story reveals something new to you. Why? Because he speaks to you. No, I already read the Bible. I already read it. It's not interesting anymore. Because you read it with your own brains. Because you read it with your own mind. You don't read it with your spirit, and you don't receive any power from it. And I'm telling you, God has a code. God has a secret code, which only his children understand. And for the rest of the people which are not born again or are not drawn near to God, you and I, we are complete absurd for them. We are a joke for them. It's not a church. It's a joke. Look at them. And they look at us and they said, what? What are they doing? What are they doing? It does not fit. It does not fit into their head. Who? What? What are they doing? This is a church. Don't lie to me. This is not a church, my loved ones. But there are those, their spirit is turned on. Amen. I don't care about your ears. And the most interesting thing in all those, the ones with ears, they cannot quit listening to us. I said, quit listening to us. We hate you, but we will still listen to your sermons. Well, maybe one of these days they'll get it. Something will change. Who has ears to hear, let them hear. What is this? Jesus. We read this from our childhood. I did not hear a sermon about this passage from the scripture. When I read this, God gave me this. A language that is understandable to my generation. The leaders speak to us with a language that is over 70 years old. Words that are dead and they have no life in them. I will give you five parts. What is this language? What is this language for my generation? Today I will decode this. What works? Because I already learned what works and what doesn't in my life. These are very simple things, but they can only be present with those who is born again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I have ears. What are you talking about, Jesus? He talks about something that only those who have ears will hear. So if you have ears to hear, then hear it. And those who don't hear it, I apologize. Get offended and leave, because I will still say this. You don't see me here. See, if it's difficult for you to see me, then just close your eyes. You know, maybe you'll be half as offended. My loved ones, there is a language of spirit. There is a language that was given by God. Which language are we going to speak in the heaven? I know which. Because my sheep, they know my voice. They know my voice. It'll be English? Not Ukrainian, for sure. You know, there are some doctrines. Yeah, they said, you know, learn Ukrainian language. Because when we'll get to heaven, so you can talk and understand what they're going to be talking about. No kidding, there is such a doctrine over there. What are we coming to? We must understand that God has his language. He has his words. He has his spirit. Jesus was speaking in some language that not everybody can hear and understand. Same thing happens right now. I'm pretty sure that some people hear me with their ears. You know, maybe on TV or on the radio or on the internet. People hear me with their ears. And to these people, I will look abnormal. I will maybe just this street guy. For other people, strangely, they say, we haven't heard something like this before. What are you talking about, brother? How can two people say absolutely different things? Some people say God is doing this, And if not for God, it would never take place. Because what you do is supernatural, and what you speak is supernatural. Others say, this is hell. This is the deception from God, or this is the deception from devil. What is this? So what it means, my loved ones, there's two types of people, and there's two types of those who hear the same thing. Some people say, you are the Son of God, and others say, you're from the devil. The demon is in you. What is this? And this is it right here. This is it right here. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And I will tell you immediately, my loved ones, I feel sorry for those who right now don't hear me. You hear me? Do you have ears? Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Samuel 2:11. We must learn the language of our generation. We must learn the language of our generation. Otherwise, no one will, except your generation, will understand you. You know that very often I hear such testimonials that children, they pull their fathers to watch CNN. They don't understand, but they say, "Father, come here." And when I come to different towns, when I call, when I communicate with people, when I go to some conference and people come to me and they say, my son introduced me to you on TV. I'll tell you one thing. We must have a language to our generation. You and I, we must be heard by our generation. No, it doesn't mean that we need to spread our CDs all over the world. No, it's just that somewhere, sometime, this person heard at least one sermon, one phrase, one revelation. I give you a guarantee, we're so dangerous that when people listen to one CD, the person will never be the same. And this is not a joke. We are so dangerous for the devil. You are so dangerous when you will come. If you walk with God, you will sit with a person and have some tea with a person, and after that tea for that person, his wonderful life will end, because he will not know in which corner to hide, because you told him something that made chaos in his comfortable life. Amen. And this is how we live. Torturing people, sort of speak. Some people wrote me from Germany. They said, because of you, our comfortable life is over. Before that, it was so all good and comfortable. Now we have to think and pray and fast. And because the information came to them that changed their life. And these are not just words. This is the language which is understandable to my generation. Even when I'm trying to speak as simple as I can, still a lot of people will not understand what I'm talking about. So what is this new doctrine? No, it's called Jesus and repentance, and being born again. So you can decode it. When you'll be born again, you can decode all of my codes. Let's read 1 Samuel 2:11. We read the story of Elkanah. We read about Anna. We read the story about Samuel, who's Anna gave birth to. Y'all know this story. I will just give a quick preview. Who gave him to the temple. And from that moment, we will start reading this story. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. We will get into the depths of the story where where the old generation, they outlived them, or they lived, and there was this big fat priest. He had two sons who absolutely did not know God. This is a revelation for some people. They served God, but they did not know God. Does that remind you of someone or something? Listen. There are some people who serve Him, and they don't know Him. It's such as life. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Whoops. Look, it's very interesting. People who did not just attend the church, these were the two main people. Because Eli was old, and he was not sacrificing anymore. That's what his sons were doing. So the three people in charge, it was the two sons of Eli. And two of these sons who were in charge of the church or the nation, they did not know God. Tell me, what can these people do? How can these people help their nation? Tell me on which language they can speak so to change the situation in this world or in their kingdom. They don't care. The main thing for them is to remove the meat from the pot. They didn't care about God. And their father was at fault. That's what the prophet says later on. Let's read this. And now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that they, when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. And then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did it in Shiloh, and all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." So, and we read this, read a little bit down. So Eli was overweight. He was oversized. So I'm just giving you a small revelation. You know, he barely survived because he ate so much. And remember how he died? He fell off the chair and broke his neck. The anointed people do not finish their lives like this. So let's read further. I'm just refreshing your memory. You know, so if you think Eli was righteous, he was not. Because God has removed him. He found himself another minister. And before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." So we thought that, only sons maybe were doing this, only this. No, but their father was telling them, "Go and get me some raw meat." So they did it all together. They had the same gang. You know what mafia means in Italian? It means family. And if the men said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but if you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord. You know why it was very great? Not because they wanted to have some shish kebab, but before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offerings of the Lord. You know why the nation cannot or does not want to serve God? Because some unclean people have forbidden. They locked the door, and people cannot come to God because the God was drawn for them. As on the picture, there are some people that deter other people from going to God. You hear me, my loved ones? Am I in my church or am I visiting someone? Amen. So, my loved ones, we must know what is happening. I'm telling you the truth. And some people will consider this message to be an offense. I don't care. about some, so I don't care about this small church. I'm talking about global things that God has put us to change these things. But in order to change those, we must know what to change. Amen, church. Let's read farther. I'll repeat for the, you know, it was the sin was not that they wanted to have some shish kebab or something, or some barbecue. No, because they have abhorred the offerings of the Lord. They despised, and because of them, people did not serve God. This is what the most scary sin is. Do you notice one parallel with of this word and with what we see these days? Someone has is saying, "Do not, don't touch this, don't go. These are all demons," and people are turned away from sacrificing to the Lord. You know how many people were stopped by this spirit from encountering God, from meeting God. Thousands and thousands of people. How many were advertisements were there in which I played the main role? And they said, "May God forbid you will go there. You're not coming to me." You are turning people away from sacrificing to the Lord, and you will carry the tough punishment from God. You hear me? Let's read chapter or verse 18. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, from the early childhood, he was in favor before God and with God and with people. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord.' Then they would go to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord." He grew before the Lord, and that's why, you understand? Remember that dream where God came to him. A small Samuel, he did not know. He was still a boy. He did not know the voice of the Lord, but God already communicated with him. He did not go to those unclean people. He started talking to that little boy what to say. And they said, "What, you're a small boy, you will teach me? What are you going to tell me right now what God wants? I know how God does these things." Yes. Yes, he will find a small boy and he will say a prophecy in your life. And you know that this small boy, he prophesied the death of Eli and his sons. So let's be very careful about who and who we talk to and what we say about other people, because we don't know who this is. If your spirit did not tell you who it is, do not touch him. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assemble at the floor of the tabernacle of meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do these such things?" What kind of a father this is? This father, he always lived in compromise. This father always was a sissy. "Well, guys, you know, this is not good. What are you doing? You know, people talk about these things. You know, quiet down over there." He needed to say, "Stone them to death." That's what he needed to say. What? No, they don't hear. For fornication, they were punished like this back then, especially when the priests were doing that. You know, the story just irritates me, actually, as much as I like it. Look at the father, full of compromise. You know, he has no backbone. He cannot stand for the Lord, for the sacrifices, for the people that come to Lord. He cannot stand for it. And look at the and look at the instructions to his sons who were doing orgies and in fornication. Look at it. For I know my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. Father is mad. He sounds angry. You know, he's just outraged. Wasn't he? For it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. What about you? If a man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Who will intercede for him? It's an interesting question. Very wise. Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. That's it. They already have a seal on them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Then a man of God came to Eli, their prophet, a prophet. And look what he says. He came to Eli and says, "Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar and burn incense and to wear the ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people?" He was speaking to him directly. You chose your sons over me. For you, this abomination is more important than me and my law. And that's why God has removed him. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, "I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I shall be lightly esteemed." I'm tired that I'm tired that they say that God is dead and he does not do these things. You know, I am zealous. I'm zealous about my God, and that's it. You hear me? Because I do care. If you don't care the fate of the church and God and the bride of God, then it does matter to me, and I will do everything possible in my physical power to change what I see. And if you will not help me, I will do it by myself. You hear me? Why is he screaming? Have you ever had some zeal? Have you ever met God at all? When did he tell you what he does not like? He told me. And that's why sometimes I'm outraged like this. The time is running out. This is a second sermon. I can just be free. How do you feel? Everything is okay? Everything is okay? Let's read farther. When you read these stories, I see these stories. I see revelations of God, and he always keeps showing me. When I read this, he always, you know, wakes up my spirit. You know, I hate what is happening. I hate what's going on. I hate that spirit that has perverted God's word. I hate that people prefer idols to a real God and worship to some things, some traditions they chose over God. And I'm telling right now, in the language, some people will understand it, and some people will again. And as it's written, you know, they understood that Jesus spoke about them, and they already start getting stones to stone him. And again, this sermon somebody will hear, and they will try to, they will get all offended. In that case, just quiet down. I'm talking to those who have the ears to hear. I want to finish reading this. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. That's why you cannot understand why there's curse upon curse on these people. Why people leave the church, leave, you know, all these bad things, the divorce and all this gossip, because God is no longer present there. You know, I'm just preaching emotionally. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And your sons both will die on the same day. And I will put a priest, and I will raise up myself a faithful priest, who shall do according to what is in my heart. The one who was found on the street, who had no chance to serve God, it will be you. And just because of your faithfulness, God will use you. Just because of your faithfulness, not because of some things that you have. He will use you because you are faithful. Amen? Just faithful. You're just saying, Lord, I'm tired of this. I want life. I want God. You know, I have a zeal for your house. I have zeal for God, and God will use you. Why don't people understand this? Why they don't understand my language? Because they haven't been with God for a long time. Connect to the Holy Spirit. Listen to His heart, and you will see His pain and what He shouts and His cry to our nation. Why do you scream? Maybe you will wake up. What does scream or shouting has nothing to do with it? You know, it's just my style. This is how I preach. I love to scream. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. Again, he seeks a person. He will, in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. In the third chapter, verse 1, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. It means when these abominable people, they were in charge, you know, those two sons which died later on, when those people were in charge, the visions, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no wonders and miracles of God. But when Samuel came, we read at the end, in few chapters after this, that because of Samuel, the whole nation of Israel came to God because of this one small boy who knew God, who grew up, and he had the correct language. He spoke in the language of his generation. The whole Israel came to God. The whole Israel came to bow down before the Lord, which did not happen before that. The prophet done it. Amen. Very quickly, I'll name these five things which determine this language, understandable language. They will help you to understand what is this the difference between those people who speak to the nation and those who just talk to your ears. The main thing. You know, the time of just idle talk is finished. You know, even now, you will not be able to lie to those who sit in a church, who sit in a dead church. You will not be able to lie to them. The glory of God started spreading so quickly and so much that the information about the glory of God is everywhere right now. There's many churches. Many churches start moving in the Holy Spirit because God wants it. Because He wants to raise up. He wants the people to see His deeds. You know, and those people who... He wants the people would hear about His deeds. And that's why there's so... God takes such so strange people like you and I and get us into the... You know, maybe, you know, we only... There's churches not... is not too big. We have two services, you know, but this is still... But according to some strange... reason everyone knows us and people, a lot of people will hear us because He put something inside of you and me which influences those people who will hear this. Why do we keep hearing? Why we keep hearing many testimonials and you and I, we're part of this testimony. Why? No, God, before He put me over here, He let me go through the low times and this skin right here will not be able to receive the glory of God or take credit because if it will take place, this everything will fall apart. We can be in God's glory, but we cannot credit it to ourselves, and I am afraid of this. So these testimonials will not stop until all this glory is given to God and all the honor is given to God, because we are not able to change people. Only He can. We are just this case. We're just a case for God, and God fills us up. And may God forbid that small success will set you off course. You know, and I know that people will thank you and will keep thanking you. May God forbid that some of you will get it into your own head and take the credit for it, because this is where your ministry will end. God cannot stand this. The glory of God will flow until you will let it flow through you. But if you'll stop that flow, then you have died. It will flow through you. You know, there's going to be a lot of glory flowing through you. The multitudes of people, thousands of people will go through you. The whole nation will just go through you until you will stop that flow. And you will say, oh, okay, thank you. This is me. Okay, this is your end. That's it. The glory of God stops right there. And I'm afraid of that. And this is the very fear. This is what I fear. May God forbid. Number one, your language that is understandable to our generation. First criteria, it's the language of the authority. You know what authority is. You cannot buy it. Authority cannot be learned. Authority, you cannot just stand on the pulpit and start screaming la la la. If you don't have anything, then you will not have anything. You know, you can jump on the stage and you can do whatever. If you have no authority, then you will not have it. But there's people who stand behind a pulpit and the small word, and you feel this authority. You feel that this person, he is eating somewhere else. He is communicating with someone different. I'm explaining. Who has children? Raise your hand. Majority. What is authority? Authority is given to us as parents automatically, which means when I have my children, whether I want to or not, whether they want to or not, they're under my authority. And when sometimes the wives, you know, they're more soft, and sometimes they allow the children to just, you know, to just play around. And sometimes you hear this scream, ah, and, you know, and they start screaming. Because in due time, the woman did not put them in their place, and they test you, and the children will know your weak points, and they know your point of breakage, and they will try to get you to that point. Who doesn't have children, may God bless you. Because we all will go through this moment. And He knows your weak points. My daughter learned it very quickly. Listen to me very quickly, but you know she can. But my wife, she does not listen to my wife as much. You know, she'll just keep talking and talking back. But still, there is that breaking point, and you know when that breaking point occurs, you know our parrot starts screaming, and our children clean the places in the house where they didn't ever want to clean. You know, my wife comes and says, Andre, please talk to Danny because he doesn't want to clean his room. And I walk into the room and he's just playing there, you know. Just sits there, he's, you know, he's a kid. And whatever he's doing, you know. And all of a sudden, boom, I open the door. Children, they know immediately, they know the look of their father. And they know that right now, you know, the grace has ended. That's it. Right now, you got to start doing something real quick or it's going to be a very sad situation. He knows exactly that he didn't listen to his mom all day long. And all of a sudden, he becomes a Superman. Cleans everything so fast. Everything just flies around and he cleans. And I walk in and I go, you know, I'm in shock, you know, that this happened. And he's in shock that he've done this. This authority of a father, you know, no, it's not that you, no. You know, father has an authority. And when a father does not have authority in the house, this is very sad. You must have order. You know, the children do need to know where there's, you know, where the father, who the father and the mothers are. So what is authority? The principle of authority is, I did not earn that authority. Some other guy will come to him and say, clean your room. And he says, who are you? So he doesn't know. He doesn't know who walked in and who what they want. It's like, you know, get out of my house. He has no authority. You know, maybe he's the same guy, but he has no authority over my children. This is the principle of authority. You cannot earn it. Authority is given to those, only to those who God establishes to take care of his nation or of his people. Why do you hear some people and you see the person comes out? When he only comes down, you know, he didn't start to speak yet, but you already feel that authority. And some other people will come out and go like this, and you look at him and you go, what's going on? Oh, dear brothers and sisters, let's do this and let's do this. Get out of there. I'm at home. You know, if I'll conduct conferences, maybe I'll be quieter. Number one is the language of authority. The authority is given. It's a language that no one hears, but everyone can perceive it. Everyone feels it. It's invisible authority, this invisible words. It's just one of the structures of the language. If you don't have it, if you don't have an authority, Jesus was speaking, teaching as one who has authority, not the one who wants the authority or someone, you know, another different thing, as the one who has the authority, or not as the Pharisees. Number two, a power. Language of power. What is power? Power is what is happening around you when you live and you do something. Is something being changed? Do you have the real power? Look, what can you do? Is in any realm there is authority and power. So a person who deals with children, I'm telling you, I cannot be with children, teach the children. Children will not be able to be children because they'll be all quiet if I would be like a Sunday school teacher. You know, they would probably forget the alphabet. I cannot teach children. Again, I will say something. Children, you need to get rid of religion or something. And they said, Father, you're not in the right place. We don't know what this is. Praise God that they don't know what it is. Thank you, Jesus, that they live in your families. Thank God for our children. Power. What is changing in the spiritual realm after your testimonial or after your word? What is changing after the sermon and after the things that God has put inside of you. It's not, if nothing has changed, then you don't have the real power. It's just another idle talk that we hear all the time. Well, somebody comes to the pulpit and starts screaming, "Come to Lord, the time is near. Let's go to Florida." This is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that about the real authority and power, about the real God. If you can, thousands of miles away, change lives of people without seeing them and knowing them, only some word that they got a hold of, this is called the real power. So, what is pride? Pride is when you name the things which you don't have. We just name the facts. A real power is a real power. You can see it, you can hear about it, you can feel it. This is the second moment, which is understandable to our generation. Our young generation starts, you know, 40 years and younger, they will not listen to the older. You know, you will see that there's going to become less and less of them. They'll either leave the church, because if there is no power, no authority, nothing will happen. Number three, which I want to keep saying, it's anointing. It's impossible to buy it or fake it or do something that would draw the anointing upon you. No, it's your so people see it, people feel it. What's inside of you determines where God is and where God isn't. You know, you won't be deceived because you know inside of your heart where anointing is, and you feel it where it is and where it's not. Number four, it's the language of faith. Language of faith, we all know, you know, you cannot please God without faith, or faith is dead without the works. So what is faith? So we all understand what is faith. It always pertains some action. It always relates to some action. Faith relates some action. Do you have the actions, the deeds? Can we take your life and see what you are doing? Can we take like a year or a couple of years and see what happened in this time? If nothing happened in your life except that you bought yourself a Mercedes and a house, and I'm sorry, then you have nothing. God did not send you. You don't have the real glory of God. You just live and exist. It's a fourth element that is understandable to our generation. It's the language of faith. People want to see that, you know, you back up your words with your faith. You talk about success, and here it is, success. You don't stand on your knees for 30 years, so you would get rid of your headache, and you still have it. I'm telling you, I'm talking about real things. And five, not in the last one, it's the language of a result. Is there a result from your ministry? What result is there from your ministry? Always, right now, you will not deceive anybody. You cannot fake anything. People always... they always look at your background, you know. It's past that. You know, some people laid the hands on you and prayed for him. You know, these things don't work anymore. Show me the result and anointing. Show me the fruits. Show me the movement of Holy Spirit. If they're not there, then you don't speak that language. Are you receiving anything for you today? May God bless you. Let's all stand up. Lord, we thank you. Raise your hand and glorify him. This is the first Sunday of 2008, and we're just beginning this year with war. This is what we do. We will grow. We have no right not to grow. We will have success. It cannot be that we will not have success because we walk with God. If you live with God, if you pray and fast and you stand in the gap and receive revelations from him, you cannot be not successful. God is always with his children. God is always around those people. So we'll raise up our hands and we will worship our God. We love you, Lord.